Are we good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're now back in regular session, and we will have some action on our executive session. If I could have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion. We buy lot 94, block 4, lot 97, block 4, from High Meadow Ranch's property owners in the amount of $15,000.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Vickery. Any questions, comments? If not, I'll signify, or all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Billy.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
See ya.
Is that the?
I'll give you a call.
Matt, I think, and Carrie.
Thank you, guys.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Go fishing.
Soon.
Yeah. Not soon enough.
Thanks, Cleve.
All right, Sheriff, we'll be ready for you whenever you're ready for us.
Okay, I'm ready now.
Okay.
Hello again.
Hello.
Hey, Case.
Okay, so the first thing on the agenda is town contracts for law enforcement services for the towns of Pinedale, Big Piney, and Marbleton. Usually these are signed at the beginning of the year. We forgot this year, so they will go into effect as of July 1st, and then we'll just keep them on our budget, or our annual budget. So, and nothing's changed in the contracts as far as I can remember. Just the date. So,
and this is, I guess, for July 1 last year until June 30th this year.
Yeah.
So okay. There's three, one for each municipality.
There's three, and I would think that we could have a single motion to accept the law enforcement services contract with the towns of Big Piney, the towns of Marbleton, and the town of Pinedale.
So we'll.
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Got a motion and a second. Let's have some discussion, Commissioner Bowles.
Question, Casey. For quite a few years now, every year we have a discussion about how much are we contributing by doing this. What is the cost to the county to do free law enforcement?
Right.
And I think it would be good to let the taxpayers know, as not part of the contract, but maybe as an addendum every year, what is the value of this service that we're providing. But I wondered what your thoughts are. How much trouble is it to provide us even the information you already gave us for this year? Just so it's clear to everybody that by doing this, which no other county in the state does,
correct,
we're providing a significant contribution to the towns at the expense of all the taxpayers. I'm not opposed to doing it. I think over time, and some changes in town councils happen, it becomes accepted that it's an obligation, which it is not. We're doing it because we can,
mm-hmm.
but we're not required to do it.
Correct.
And I think it's good just to let the towns know, as town councils change and as county commissioners change, that this is the value of what we're contributing. Just a thought.
Commissioner Bowlesman, I agree, and it actually the value is considerable.
It is considerable.
Well, considerable.
It looks to me like you could, I mean, just take Kemmer, for instance. You could ask Kemmer, okay, what's the budget for your police department?
Well, Casey's already done some background information and let us know real numbers in terms of projecting what it costs to provide that mm-hmm. coverage. And it's considerable. It's in excess of $300,000 per combining Marlton and Big Piney, but for each municipality.
And that's without detention.
That's without, yes.
Right.
So I think in line with what you said, Commissioner Bowsman, at the very least, there's some kind, we need to put this out, but when we do our state of the county, when we have that...
It'd be another way of doing it.
It'd be another way of pointing it out that this includes municipal services, which we are the only county in the state that provides municipal law enforcement at the cost to the taxpayers of approximately X number of dollars, to create an awareness. Because I'm with you. We're not looking to change things. We're not looking to back out of things. But sometimes it does help people to know where their money's going and what we're contributing to and what you guys are doing. Because you're the only department in the state that does municipal law enforcement as well as county.
Sure. To date, as I know.
Yeah.
So I have had several sheriffs approach me and ask for copies of our contract to see, you know, to see how it works, because there are municipalities that are considering this right now. But when they see the cost, to them it's laughable. I mean, they said there's no way we're going to do this for that.
It's the best $10 deal in the state.
Right. Right. and again, I agree with Commissioner Bowsman. I'm proud that we can do this for our communities, but I do agree that there needs to be some transparency in actually what we're offering. So,
and it could be the state of the county report is a better way to do it.
Yeah,
I like that better than an addendum to the contract.
Yeah,
because more people will look at it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay,
Mr. Chairman, I've one more comment also. In conjunction to this discussion, the fact that the three towns have not requested they take their law enforcement back says they're very satisfied with what's going on from the county standpoint.
Good point.
And I've not seen anybody say, yeah, we want to police our own deal. We don't want the county involved. And of course they do want the county involved, because you're doing a hell of a job. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Well, the bottom line, by having one group do it, we've significantly cheapened the cost of law enforcement within the community by doing it the way we're doing it, compared to each town having to have their own police force, their own jail, their own, you know, it tremendously increased the tax burden to the citizens of the towns. Mm-hmm.
The continuity is significant.
Yeah. But we do need to talk about it, and we do need to put a number on it. And the state of the county report, I like that idea.
Okay.
Any other comments? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
All right, next thing that I'd like to bring up is the HEMPG grant. So Friday was the deadline for the application. Woods was our grant writer. They completed the grant and forwarded it to the state. However, there are several assurances and certifications that have come up since then that none of us were aware about, including the Hoback Ranches. And I don't know. In reading those, and actually I just got three more this morning. I'm not sure if any of the county employees have the experience and the knowledge to do this as well as the Hoback Ranch's special improvement district. It's concerning that this. You know, it would have been nice to have a checklist at the beginning, because I do feel that a lot of these are surprises, not only to us, but also to the Hoback Ranches. And I believe this is going to create a burden on the county, if going forward, to almost create another position just to handle this grant, to see it through, where it would benefit both the Hoback Ranches and the county.
Matt, do you have some comments for us? I know there was one form in particular, it's a standard form, that we were given and asked to sign, and there's considerations with the obligation in that form to the county, because this is a different scenario for grants, if you will, where we have to guarantee the work that somebody else is doing, and we would have to provide engineering oversight and so on. Do you have comments or recommendations regarding that?
I mean, I get the commission's concern. The way that the grant is structured, we're on the hook for all responsibilities, but the Hoback Ranch's SID is the one that puts them into place. So I think the sheriff laid it out well. I don't think anybody at the county has the expertise to manage the grant. And yeah, the assurance pages, as the sheriff said yesterday, is fairly lengthy and fairly, there's a lot of heavy lifting there. So I get the hesitation and the concern on the part of the sheriff and the commission in terms of handing this entirely off to the Hoback Ranches. But I say that knowing that they were expecting this money, and so it's a tough situation. I don't have a good answer, unfortunately.
Well, I agree with the sheriff as well. I mean, this is some, I don't know if it was foreseeable. It certainly wasn't foreseeable in a timely fashion, because as you just stated, you got some of this morning, and this grant application was ended or was due by Friday. So I'm hard-pressed to make any level of commitment, not knowing what we're committing to.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if the county matched a certain portion, but that the Hoback Ranch's SID was on the hook to the federal government for all the obligations that came from the grant. But that's not how the grant is structured. And I'm in unforeseen territory too. Like I don't understand how this grant really works. So I get the concern on the commission moving forward, just because we're putting a lot of trust and faith in the Hoback Ranches to do all these things, and if they don't, my understanding is the county is on the hook for those shortcomings.
Right. When we had this meeting with Homeland Security in November, it seems to me the process for the expectations was explained a little bit differently, and the Hoback Ranches were there. Four of us were there. The county clerk was there. The new county clerk was there. And my understanding at that time would be that Hoback Ranches would incur the expenses and that we would pay them back as they occurred. Now, what I'm learning as of last Friday is they want us to commit to front the money for the entire project, in which we would then get reimbursed at the end of that time if all the grant conditions were met, which we don't have any say-so or control in.
Yeah.
I think we're all saying the same thing. That's what concerns us all. And so at this time, I don't know, I don't see a way for us moving forward with this, because we don't have those answers and we don't have assurances of what we're committing to, when we'll be taking all the liability in terms of this entire grant amount in excess of $500,000 with the county's money.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, Matt. So, if an expert grant writer supposedly is hired to do this, who's going to foot the bill for that?
We've already agreed to.
We've already agreed.
Yes. We have?
Yes, we agreed to pay $20,000 for a grant writer.
Well, no, I understand that, but it sounds to me like this thing is going to get way above the $20,000. Then what happens?
Well, the problem is the process is over. The grant application was due last Friday. So I think we're looking at a situation where it's hard for the grant to go forward without us supplying further documentation of our commitment, which we just expressed we have trouble doing. But we did agree to pay $20,000 for a grant writer. So there's a number of questions there But right now it is what it is, and that's what we're faced with.
And really, it's the administration of the grant that's problematic, right? I mean, the grant writing, I'm not trying to get a short shrift, but it's how are we going to implement and administer the grant and comply with all these obligations that are spelled out by the federal government? And then if that doesn't happen, who does the finger get pointed at? And my understanding is the county would be on the hook for that.
But yet we're not doing the work.
And yet we're not overseeing of the work. We're not hiring these contractors.
And that's what makes it different from,
Well, again, if the county's putting in a match amount and all the obligations and responsibilities went to the Service and Improvement District, okay, that seems like a reasonable.
And that was my agreement or my understanding.
Well, that was our
understanding. Absolutely, just what you said. That's the way I understood.
I think we all understood it that way.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the way it was presented to us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the only thing that we agreed to as of yet was that we would provide the match and that we would do the notification of intent designating Hoback Ranches as the person responsible for doing this. And so that's the situation we're in.
So what do we do at this point? Ask Casey to let Wood Environmental know that.
So I think Wood's done. Their grant writing is complete as of Friday. So our contact would be Melinda with the state. Melinda, is it Gibson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Homeland Security.
To let her know that. You know, because these assurances and certifications are going to require signatures. There is a month process where she reviews the grant to even, decide whether they're going to, give us or go through with the grant or not. But without the signatures, then it probably will not. It won't go through.
Well, we probably should let her know why we're not providing the signatures.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's something you'll do, Casey?
I can, yes. I'd be happy to.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been in touch with her, so, yeah.
And Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Sheriff, if you wouldn't mind asking Melinda if there are other grant possibilities out there. I don't know how the commission feels about, did the commission ever commit to a match amount in the beginning? Or I'm just trying to figure out something that we could do that could mitigate this grant going away, but they could still help the district up there. I don't know if there are any other possibilities, Sheriff, but maybe it's a question to bounce off Melinda.
Okay.
A grant structure where the county puts up the match, yet the SID is on the hook for all the assurances, certifications, obligations, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I don't know.
To answer your question, we did commit to the 25% match on this grant.
Okay. So maybe you can let her know that, the commission did put forth a commitment of $25,000. Is there any?
25%.
142. Okay, so 142. Is there any grant possibility out there where the county again puts that match in? I don't know.
Okay, I can ask.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
And Joel, that's where part of the housing that's going to there you wanted to use as part of the grant. Match.
Well, that was my hope. An in-kind contribution is part of the match.
Yeah, we were going to, of that $142,000, we had already decided we were going to donate the proceeds from that junk sale, and then if we could get some in-kind donation, which, based on what we got from the landfill, we would probably easily match the remaining portion of that.
Right.
So bear with me my stupidity. So does the grant writer never have any responsibility to oversee any of this stuff that they put together? They don't?
No, but I think it's going to be a recommendation because the reason the county chose Wood is because of their experience. They've done this down in Colorado, before. This isn't new to them, so that's why we chose them. But I would suggest or recommend having a checklist at the beginning. Say, this is what you are going to need. You're going to need Form 2016C lobby certifications. You're going to need Form LLL disclosure of construction programs. We don't. It's at this juncture, it's way too late.
No, I understand that, but my question, I didn't ask it very well. I'm going to ask it like this then. So the best person for law enforcement is somebody that's in law enforcement.
Yes.
So it would appear to me that if Wood has the expertise to write all the grants, they should also have somebody there with the expertise to administer through all this stuff. Even though it's going to cost a little bit more, at least they have the expertise to do it. That doesn't make sense. To me, it makes sense to have somebody, if you're putting a program together,
yep,
then go forward with it so that it's done properly. Because now it seems we're struggling with finding somebody that can do it. Is that not right?
Partially.
Partially.
The other part is, unfortunately, Hoback Ranches did not have the expertise, and they were the one that was supposed to be carrying the ball on this grant. Not carrying the ball, but their responsibilities, because they were going to, we were going to allow Hoback Ranches as an improvement district through the county to be awarded these monies. The money did have to come through us. But that, there was some responsibility on them in moving this forward.
But they don't have anybody with the expertise either.
No, correct.
No.
That's where we're at.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and the grant, I mean, the grant writer is completely separate from the grant manager.
No, I understand that. But it would appear still to be, in my world, if there's somebody that's in a business that has experts within their field, there should still be somebody. They should have said, when this is done, we're going to put XYZ in place to see that it's managed properly. I understand that.
Well, but it goes back to the county's position and understanding with this grant from the beginning. And our position was, we'll be glad to provide the match. You will take care of the expenses of this grant. And as time goes on, and we will reimburse you as we get money. But we didn't know that we weren't getting money to the total end of the project. And then the project has to be approved before we get any money. So our understanding from the beginning was, we're just there to pass this through, let you apply through the county, and that we will pay the match. From our standpoint, we had no idea that we were going to be involved in the process. I understand what you're saying. But that's what's different about this grant. This grant's not something that the county's doing the work for. If we were doing the work and then getting reimbursed like we do with a number of other grants, it'd be a whole different situation. But in this thing, we're getting all the liability, paying the money, and there's no assurances we'll get the county money back.
No, I've kind of figured that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're the best move, or the best thing going forward in the future is, like you say, have a checklist that we can go down and get these things, because this process has been ongoing now for 3 months.
Right.
Yeah. And here we are discovering some things.
And in the last week, they're, I mean, I shouldn't say demanding, but they're requiring letters and signatures, and that we can't do in 2 and 3 days.
Exactly.
We need time to review them, so... Yeah, and Wood could care less whether we get the grant or not. They're out of the ball game as far as the grant goes. It's up to the state and the federal government now to decide whether Hoback Ranches and the county, did the grant is will work and it's appropriate. So, I need to go back and check, but I do believe that $20,000 for the grant writer is also reimbursable.
That was also what I need to check.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's regardless if we get the grant or not, but I do believe it was reimbursable.
That was my impression too.
Yeah. Okay.
They paid us that grant to pay for this grant writer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it needs to be submitted by May 1st.
Okay. All right.
Their fees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Casey.
Right. Do you want me to send the town contracts back to the municipal districts?
Yeah, I think.
Yes. Let me, can I scan them and give them back to you?
Okay, or do you want me to have Shannon scan them and send them to you? Would that?
That'd be fine.
Okay.
I'll have to sign them and stamp them too.
Okay.
They need to be notarized.
That's okay, I'll let you notarize them first and then scan them and I can just come up and get them and we'll get them sent. Thanks.
Thanks, Casey.
Thank you, yep.
Yeah, we're doing good for time.
So far, so good. I think we're ready for Mandy.
Mandy can't come, she had to go to court. So I'm here, Zoe White.
So?
I did it last year.
Okay.
I don't remember if we had somebody read it last year.
We did.
Okay, do you wanna do that again? If we do that again, I would like to record it on my phone, if that's okay?
Okay.
With your permission, of course.
Awesome.
I got two copies if you want to read it and then they can pass one around if they wanna.
I think we have a copy.
Oh, awesome.
In our packet.
Take a look at it.
We do have a copy down there somewhere.
Oh, we have our packet too. Yeah, okay. Just to let the public know, this is regarding the Sexual Assault Awareness Month resolution. So I will read the resolution. And this is for Sexual Assault Awareness Month resolution, April 2019. Whereas Sexual Assault Awareness Month calls attention to the fact that sexual violence is widespread and impacts every position in Sublette County, every person in Sublette County. And whereas rape, sexual assault, and sexual harassment harm our community, and statistics show 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men will be raped at some point in their lives. And whereas child sexual abuse prevention must be a priority to confront the reality that 1 in 6 boys and 1 in 4 girls will experience a sexual assault before age 18. And whereas young people experience heightened rates of sexual violence and youth ages 12 to 17 were 2.5 times as likely to be victims of rape or sexual assault. And whereas on campus, 1 in 5 women and 1 in 16 men are sexually assaulted during their time in college. And whereas ending sexual violence takes more than one person, we call on partners and community members to help expand sexual assault prevention efforts to ensure the next generation fosters attitudes that promote healthy relationships, equality, respect, and whereas our county's character is tested whenever this injustice is intolerated. Now therefore, we, the Sublette County Board of Commissioners, join the Sublette County SAFV Task Force and their community partners in playing an active role to prevent sexual violence. We do hereby proclaim April 2019 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month in Sublette County and call on all of our citizens to speak out against sexual assault and support local efforts to assist victims of these crimes in finding the help and healing they need. If I could have a motion to accept this proclamation or this resolution.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Seconded.
No discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I do have one for another signature. I think you, do you put them up?
I'll have to find out.
Okay. So we always leave one for you.
I think we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know
I think
if I've ever
would.
Seen them.
Yeah. We should.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Zoe.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you.
All right, moving on along, our first item under monthly reports, Carrie, is our public hearing regarding transfer of funds.
Okay. This is the time of the year that we do budget adjustment based on unanticipated revenue that has come in from various sources, and then we set it against expenses if we can identify them. And those are laid out in your resolution.
And we are now having a public hearing with regards to these transfer of funds. Are there any comments from the public? All right, so what we have, what Carrie has provided for us is the total source of unanticipated revenues, and in addition, the expenses for which those revenues would be used. So we would need a motion at the conclusion of this public hearing, which is no public comment, to transfer these funds as indicated.
And the resolution.
So we need, as indicated in the resolution. So we have a resolution, in essence, to transfer funds in the total amount of $1,372,107.56 into the accounts as shown in the resolution. Do you have a motion?
No, I have a question, but if you want the motion first, that's fine.
Let's have the motion first.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second? Okay, now, Commissioner Bowsman, questions?
I guess I'm having a little hard time explaining this or understanding this, but is it accurate, Carrie, to say the first page, the totals, $1,372,000, is that unanticipated revenue, all of that?
Unanticipated revenue is at the top.
That's only the top number, mm-hmm. 208,000.
The rest of it is where we move money out of reserve accounts into the equipment reserve account, the depreciation reserve, the equipment reserve, which comes to $852,350. This is the way Mary's done it every year, and this is how this is done. And Mary did look at it, and she did approve it.
Okay, so for example, the second item, depreciation reserve, ag and fair capital, $15,000. So we're taking $15,000 out of that reserve account?
The ag and reserve capital is, the $15,000 is what the commissioners voted on last fall for the bus, the parking.
That was it. What were we going to do with the fairgrounds and bus
fare?
Okay.
Yeah. So what we're doing today is we're taking that $15,000 out of reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which one of these accounts below is it going into? A fairgrounds projects, $15,000?
Yes,
is that what correlates with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question. Just trying to be able to explain it. We're taking it this amount from here, and we're putting it here.
We're transferring it into...
into a spending account.
A spending account.
Right. Got it. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
That helped me too.
Any other questions? If not, we have a motion and, a second to accept this budget transfer resolution. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Okay. We're now to our accounts payable. If I could have a motion to approve the accounts payable as audited by the clerk's office as well as the commissioners, approved for payment.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Is there any discussion or questions? Commissioner Gregory?
Do that, though.
Not really. I don't assume anything.
I just thought I had a little...
I do have a question.
I guess he's not here, so I'll have to ask We have to ask the question somebody does. What's bunker gear?
The fire department's PPE. It's their fire suit.
Yeah.
It's their helmet, their full suit.
Full deals?
Yep.
Boots, the top of the helmet?
Yep, head top.
Okay, so.
And it's expensive.
Terribly so. And lunch and others, but. Oh, I did know one. There was one other too on the recalls, and it's not a big item, but it's interesting. The Rocky Mountain Yeti, it says recalls, brake pads and rotors. The amount was $389. Normally on recalls, at least the ones that I've participated in, I don't pay. They take care of it if it's a recall. So is that what that is?
I just have to look at the bill.
Rocky Mountain Yeti?
Rocky Mountain Yeti. Yeah.
Is on the second page.
That's, I don't understand how that bill is made out. That's fine.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Kerry. Okay. On Tegeler and Associates package renewal, it's under maintenance department, $364,000.
That's our big insurance.
Is that just for maintenance?
No.
Or is that
no,
for
that's
the whole
our,
county?
That's our county
that's
insurance.
That's the whole county.
It comes from the maintenance department, maintenance budget.
Oh, that, all our insurance comes out of, well, I guess it would. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I was thinking that was just insurance for the.
No, that's for the.
That's where that line item
was
kept.
Stuff,
yeah.
And
no.
Not the whole county. That's a
this
lot
is
of
the
money.
One that
that's
in
line with what Mark approved
yes.
Or presented
right.
To us
right.
Last month.
Right. Got it.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor of this motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Right. Motion carries. We now need a motion to approve payroll in the amount of $1,032,298.22.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve payroll. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
We need to sign three of these.
Okay.
The other one is not overlooked that.
Janice, we got a little paperwork to sign, then we're ready for you.
Do you have good news?
Now three in a row,
move,
huh?
Move to the back of the room.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Did you see that latest email this morning from Vanguard?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Kerry just forwarded it to us this morning.
It's going to another court,
there's
another jurisdiction.
More problem,
yeah.
We thought it was over.
We got two. There's three
oh,
pages
two?
We decided.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just two pages?
Well, there's three altogether.
Three?
Yeah. So. There was two more.
Mm-hmm. two more signatures.
And when you're done with that, you can just pass it to the clerk, please. All right, Janice.
Mr. Chairman, again, we have two abatements. They are, again, state-assessed properties, adjustments to natural gas production values and oil production values. The total for this period is just over $18,000 in refunds.
ELG and Chevron. Okay, so.
All right.
Thank you. Better news next time.
Yeah, hopefully.
ELG and Chevron?
Yeah. $7,000. Chevron and the rest on ELG.
Can you hear something?
Yeah. Okay, we're still on the monthly reports. Karen, do you have anything for us?
I do. Next commission meeting, probably. Well, next commission meeting, the treasurer, Emily Paravicini, and I will come to the board to talk about and request permission to consolidate some of the processes in our office that we've realized. Since we're going to be cross-training, we've decided to, with the board's permission, consolidate the new titling process so it's all done in one spot where you don't have to go to the treasurer's office and pay sales tax, come back to the clerk's office, get a title, and go back and get registration. So we're working with Brian Johnson on getting that streamlined, and so hopefully we'll have a good plan, and so we can talk to you about that next time. I just wanted to give you a heads up in case you wanted to come and look and see what it was we're planning and how we're working toward that happening. I'm talking with a couple of vendors about starting an e-recording process. Should streamline recording land documents and make it more timely for people that are trying to record a document. There's three counties in Wyoming that don't e-record at this time, and we're one of them. So we can step up and be a little bit more technologically advanced. I'm starting the process of getting a person in my office certified in human resources so that we can meet our obligations there and get something done in that area. Maybe at some point splintering that person off from the office, but we'll see as that comes along and how that works. Looking at automating some parts of payroll separate from human resources. This is payroll. Hand put in by hand by my office every month. It's $1 million payroll. Every vacation and sick leave is manually entered. So getting input from department heads that are involved in payroll and that submit timesheets, and from Matt and Mike about some of the options that we might have in making it more user-friendly for the employee, and definitely less time-consuming from my office. Right now, payroll is about a week-long process. And I heard you say the other day, Joel, oh, mine's automatic. There's nothing automatic about it. It's
what
automatic.
What I meant was my check is deposited
right.
automatically.
Yeah.
That's all I meant. That's all we care about.
That's right. You have a sheet here that gets checked and double-checked
right.
before it comes to you. So that's just some of the things that we're looking at, and I'm trying to include anybody that's affected by that that has to turn in timesheets and be involved in that whole process. And so that's kind of what I've got going in my office.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, question, Carrie, on the payroll thing, and in talking to Billy Pape at Road and Bridge, there's some pretty serious issues with what's being proposed and how it might affect our different departments, Road and Bridge, probably maintenance, probably fairgrounds. And I guess what I would recommend is if you're going to farm this out, we need to really, through our department heads, have a really good understanding of what it means. I think some of our department heads, at least Billy, is under the impression that this is what you're going to do and this is what he's going to have to do. He made the point to me that our snowplow drivers don't carry computers. They don't even have cell phones with email that they can enter their daily time cards. If that goes forward as proposed in those email you sent out, it looks like it's going to entail our departments increasing their clerking ability to do all that stuff and make those entries so they don't have to be made in your office.
Well, and I did talk to Billy after he talked to you and explained to him that this, his people, if he's got girls that in his office that, let me show you, Road and Bridge payroll. This is Road and Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That Wilhelmina physically checks and enters and double checks. And I physically check and enter and double check. So what I talked to Billy about is if he has people that can't use a computer, then she can enter it into the computer as easy as on pieces of paper for the people. So, and then it uploads to Billy to review, and then it uploads to me to review. So right now, it's Wilhelmina comparing these timesheets to what they turn in, and then sending it to me to physically double check too on the adding machine, and physically enter in their overtime and their vacation and sick, and then print out reports and review it again. So there's going to be work on everybody's part, but we can work around the people that don't know how to use a computer.
Well, I guess I have some concern with the idea of contracting. You know, I guess one question I have, and we don't have time today to go into this in detail, but one question I have is how many other counties in Wyoming are doing this?
Teton County is looking into it, too. I talked with Sherry yesterday.
And they're looking at mm-hmm. the same fur?
I don't know. We didn't go into that far. But I'm looking at a couple different ones and several different levels.
So have you looked at contracting with a local firm to try and keep that in the county as opposed to a company that's clear out of state?
Well, one of the advantages of an automated payroll system of a company that does this is for the employees. Right now, the employees, if they want to change their HSA contribution or what they're contributing to deferred comp, or if they want to remove a dependent, they have to bring me a piece of paper that tells me that's what they want to do. And then I go in and manually change that. The one company that I was looking at, ADP, it has a dashboard where the employee can log on to their profile, and they can make the changes they want to make. And then it'll upload into the liability checks that we send to these, to HSA and Blue Cross Blue Shield. So if we just contract with a CPA firm to do the same thing I'm doing, we can. That's no advantage to the employee, in my opinion.
Well, it would seem like by going from a monthly payroll to a two-week payroll, we're automatically basically doubling our expense. And what is the advantage of going to a two-week pay period?
Well, that's an option that we can do. A lot of employees have told me, express that desire. If there was any way we could go to a biweekly payroll, that would be great. That's an option. Or we can stay at a monthly payroll. There's a lot of options. But I have contacted department heads. I did miss Jay. I forgot about Jay and Brianne. But I have contacted a lot of department heads and asked for their input and their concerns. So it's not something I'm just going to go out and make people do.
Okay, well, I guess I would ask you to bring the department heads together in a meeting and let them brainstorm what this means for their departments and maybe include us or one of us or two of us in that discussion, because if there's budget implications for our departments, I think we as commissioners probably should know that.
And I would do that.
Okay. Thank you.
So just off the top of my head, Mr. Chairman, they're already having to enter it on a piece of paper.
Yes, twice.
Twice.
They have their timesheet that they keep, and then they bring it to Wilhelmina, and she puts it on another sheet and compares it to their first timesheet.
So this system would enter it into a computer versus a piece of paper?
There's several different ways to do it.
Okay.
You can put it on a piece of paper, go in and put it on, log on to a computer, put it in your, either as a time sheet or as a schedule, and marking that you have worked your schedule. If you can also use it on your phone. It can be uploaded to a phone. So that if you don't come into the office and you do know how to use the phone, then you can log on and put your time in there. But it gets sent to the supervisor, they sign off on it, and then they send it to my office. And then I review it and sign off and upload it to the company for payment.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, so Carrie, I know apparently you've looked into this a bit.
Mary and I started looking into it a couple of years ago, and then things got busy with the county, and she had to pay attention to other things. But yes, I've looked into it for a while.
Okay, so to go back to budget implications versus what is going on now. Yeah, I know it sounds time-consuming as a devil, but taking the time-consuming portion of it out and going to wherever it goes, what are we looking at basically? I know you can't say to the penny, but basically what kind of service is that going to be?
Probably about $2,000 a month, and it will save me about half a person if I ever decide to downsize my office.
So is that $2,000 like our insurance? Is that an introductory offer that's likely to go up, just like we just considered?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Marble?
So I have comment just to your last statement is if it may save you half a person, but if we're changing things to the department heads, maybe it'll create a half a person for each of them. I don't know, that's just a thought. But my other thought is Andre did call me after he'd read through your email to him, and he had a lot of concerns, such as every person is either tech savvy or not, and then that's going to weigh on his department to fill in the blanks. And I agree with him being involved in automated payroll in a couple different jobs. But Andre did call me back shortly thereafter and said he sat down with you and you answered his questions.
I'm happy to sit down with anybody and talk to them about it if they come talk to me about it.
And he was pleased with that result. but I do have to agree with Joel. Before you institute this, I would like to see everybody make sure their concerns are addressed and that there's some forethought into taking care of those concerns. And I think you've mentioned that you plan on doing that.
So do you have a time frame on this?
Probably in the fall. It will take several months to implement if we do it. We would have to run payroll by hand like this while we're making sure that we've implemented everything that's going forward in the dashboard or with the company. One company that I'm looking at will create the payroll based on what's inputted, and then do the direct deposit. Another company that I'm looking at will just be the timekeeping part and uploading to our current program. So there's several different options, but it would be months and months away.
How do you validate what somebody puts in for their time? If you're going to enter your own time, how do you know the time they're putting in is accurate?
Well, you...
I mean, if you're saying the individual worker puts in their time.
That's what they do now. They write it on a piece of paper.
So,
but isn't it checked and it validated?
In regards to that thought, I agree with Doc. In the oil field, I shouldn't state out that, but when they entered their time on their phone, there was no physical spot that they had to appear to clock in or clock out. They could be at home entering their time.
Sure.
So you have, for example, some of those that take advantage of this automated system, and then you have some that are not tech savvy, so it becomes a convoluted kind of a problem, and then the secretaries or department heads are going to have to fill in the blanks. That is a concern of mine. So throughout all this, I'd like to see that addressed.
And that's why when it uploads to the supervisor, they know, did they work the hours that they were supposed to or did they not?
And I'm not speaking, I know, for example, Billy's got 34 people under him. They come in, they all start at the same time in the morning, but they come in at different times in the afternoon. I mean, the quitting time varies or the job varies, they come and go. Currently, right now, he sees them fill out their piece of paper in the office, or in their work, not station, but they have a break room. They fill out their time cards, and they turn them in. Now, those guys will come out, get out of their work truck, get in their personal truck, and leave. That time's going to be harder for Billy to validate. That's just a concern. If Billy doesn't have that same concern, then...
I think it goes back to having that discussion with the department.
Yes.
Let them bring out their individual concerns or questions, make sure they're all answered before just moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what Commissioner Noble just said, I didn't have any idea how they fill out their time cards. I had the question about validation, and you don't either, so... having the opportunity to sit down with them and let them explain their particular department and concerns and how they do things would seem to be a necessary process in moving forward with this. And I'd like to see that happen prior to making a commitment to anybody.
So here's an example.
Would a representative
push that?
They can give demos online.
I've
watched an hour-long demo.
They've
answered questions that I have.
Plus,
I have offered to the department heads
today,
to watch the
and
demo
I'm not
as
there.
Well.
Yeah, but would they send an individual?
Or I could.
And the reason
in,
I say that
is
we're talking $1 million budget.
And it was
or
30 minutes. That's 30 minutes.
You'd
of
think
travel
if this company's in Denver, somebody'd come out.
I went
that amount of money.
They probably would if we decided to implement.
They don't. They trust.
Probably not if we're just going to look at the dashboard because they can show it online.
The first step might be to have all the department heads view it online, and then if they had further questions, it would be legitimate if this company wants, if you're going to outsource payroll and this company wants a business to come in and do a dry run and say this is what it would look like. That something to consider. The other, another consideration, if you sit down with the department heads and you iron out all these concerns, is there a company within the state, for example, that could do this, or would this be an opportunity to, for somebody locally to do something similar rather than just hooking up with somebody that's way far removed from the state of Wyoming?
So
it seems like the further the way we get, the more we increase the risk and the less ability we have to solve things that come up. That's just a thought I have.
I don't think that after all this that we're against what you're doing. We're just concerned greatly, and we look forward to seeing what you come up with.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a question, pertinent or not. So if you've got X amount of department heads, what if one or two said, nah, this is not going to work for me, and the other three or four said, yeah, this is the greatest idea. Is it all or none in a situation like this for you?
You know, I'm just looking into this. I've never sent out an email telling anyone that this is what we're going to do. I think you were sitting in Billy's office when he first saw his email.
I think it said, you know, I'm looking into it, looking at doing this.
So I think there's a little bit of, I'm not sure what, but
maybe I didn't ask my question properly. Let me do it like this. So if the four of us are sitting here, five of us, excuse me, Mac, I didn't see you all the way down there.
Do you feel better?
And three of us say, yeah, man, that's a great idea. And two of us say, no, I'm not getting into this one. I can't understand it. My people that work for me can't understand it. So the question would be, can the three go ahead and do it like this, outsourcing or whatever the term is? And the two of us continue to do it the way we have been doing it?
No.
No. Okay. That's what I was wondering. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Karen?
Nope.
Moving your cheese and change is difficult, especially with older people. And we have a lot of older employees. I'm looking at you, Doug. And so consequently, this, you're going to have your hands full. But I think if everybody understands where you're coming from through discussions, just like we're having.
You know, there was a lot of pushback from different places whenever I said I was going to do the commissioner packet printed.
Well, it's change.
It's change.
It's change. So... anyway,
I just hope that you know whatever I'm doing, I'm trying to move forward and be not as archaic, but I'm not going to wreck the county payroll. It's been my payroll for 6 years, and I'm not going to go wreck it. And I know hopefully I have communication with department heads that are involved with payroll that will make it better.
So you said that, use that term twice, and so I have to ask you, does that mean we have department heads that aren't involved in payroll?
Well, you guys aren't involved in payroll.
We're not a department head.
Well, you're elected of people, but yes, there are, yes.
Okay, so
besides handing in their piece of paper to me every year, or every month.
Okay.
And
I just asked for clarification because I didn't know.
Some of them don't even hand in their piece of paper. They just leave them stacked in my office that I go get every month. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kerry.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, Kerry brought up an issue. She talked about agenda. And the one thing I continue to see that I don't think is necessary, and it's just my opinion, maybe it's not the commission opinion, I don't think our department heads that come in and see us every month should be required to come into your office and fill out this form. Actually, one result of that, and use Road and Bridge for example, because I'm the contact person for Road and Bridge. When that gets filled out, then that's what goes out in this packet. And it, Billy Pape is here, it's there, he just shows up. It takes away our ability to have a back and forth discussion. So he says, this is what I've been doing this month. We ask questions. I had a question today I wanted to ask, and it didn't come up because of the way we went about our meeting. But anyway, it seems like an intimidation factor to our fire pert, to Shad, to Billy, to Jay. They work for us. I can see the need for having that form if somebody from out wants to come in and do a presentation. We want to know what they're presenting. We want to know what it's about. But a monthly report from a department head, I think it's asking too much to require them to fill out all this paperwork ahead of time. And I don't think it needs to happen.
Okay, thank you. And let me address that, because this is a work in progress as we go along. We have just recently had a conversation, Carrie and I, to the fact that department heads do not need to come in and fill out a request form. However, in line with the purpose of the request form, let's say Billy wants to come in, or Billy could be, the department heads come in anytime, be on the agenda, and Camley want, talk to us in whatever manner they want. However, for the sake of our information and for the sake of public awareness, if there's a particular project like we talked about today, for instance, with Rio Verde and the removal of the easement or whatever, that was the idea behind the agenda request. And we can get the word out. I've already talked to some of them. The department heads don't need to request to be on our agenda. They've got an open space. We'll have that at the beginning like we had. However, if there's going to be something particular that we may need to know for our information, for our thought processes prior to the meeting, it would be good to know. As far as your concern with being able to ask questions and Bill be able to take as much time and present what he wants to, I don't have a problem with that. And that goes for all department heads. So can
I ask something?
Yeah.
At one point, you said they don't need to show up every month unless they had something particular to bring.
That's exactly right.
So I took them off.
Okay, so
now we want them back on.
No,
at full times.
No, let's let's define the work in progress.
Okay.
The initial intent when I took over as chairman was to try to organize the agenda in a fashion that would give us the opportunity to know what was going to be discussed, have time to investigate it. So what I'm saying is, you don't have to put them on there every month. They have the opportunity to come in. They don't have to fill out an agenda request form. So is it confusing? Maybe we need to rework the process. We need the best of both worlds. If, for instance, Shad has nothing to report to us every month, he doesn't need to come show up, just waste his time and ours by doing that. If he has something, he doesn't necessarily need to call up and say, I need to be on the agenda. However, if Shad has something like this morning, when he wants to us to approve the AOP and he wants to approve that Forest Service agreement, I think it's good to put that on our agenda so the public knows what we're going to be doing, as well as for us to be able to have and take the opportunity to look at that agreement before we come in here. It makes the process a lot easier.
In reference to another example, Road and Bridge had Rocks with Rio Verde Miles come in simply because he read the agenda.
Right.
And if Billy doesn't turn in that form, then it wouldn't have been on there and Miles wouldn't have known about it. So I appreciate the fact that they fill one out and it has some designated things. Yes, it doesn't have to talk about their day-to-day things. That's what they're going to do when they're in front of us. But it does give the public a reference to what we're going to discuss when they are here. So that agenda request makes sense to me for that reason.
And I think, you know, in looking at things, Road and Bridge generally has something reported every meeting. Maintenance, on the other hand, we don't see them three times a year. The sheriff, if he's got something to report, he needs to be here, but we're taking him away from what he has to do if he thinks he needs to be here when he's got nothing to report. So that's part of, I mean, that's part of the process. So I think at this point, I would put, as we talked about earlier today, put Road Bridge first on the agenda every time. It's a simply matter of checking with Casey or with Shad and see if they want to be on the agenda or not. If I still think that they have something specific to discuss with us, then it ought to go out to the public in terms of awareness in case they have an interest in it, whether it's remodeling the fire building or whether it's changing a policy or looking at a problem that we have in the jail or whatever. That was the original intent of trying to do this agenda request form. Also, for us, for me as the chairman, it's as I review this stuff, it's pertinent for me to know, are we looking at something that's just informational or if there's something that's going to require action? Or is it both? Because when I go through this and look at the packet and try to get things organized, it helps my process and to know that we're going to have some action, which, contrary to what some people may think, there's no motions written down on here, you know. So I know there's going to be an action item. I know there's going to have to be a motion made. So that request was put in to facilitate me conducting the meetings and doing my job as the chairman.
I think as the chairman, it helps you facilitate the timelines.
Yes.
Talk about rocks takes 20 minutes. I know the next thing on the agenda is. I just see it as it's
upstream. I don't have a problem with it the way Doc's describing it. Not at all.
Okay. So I think the main thing that helps me is when I first became a commissioner, there were several times that subjects were brought up, had no idea what anybody was talking about, didn't know. And a prime example was we're going to appoint five people to a board, say the golf board, or somebody had quit the golf board or the library board or whatever, and we have three names. We were never given those names until we got to the meeting. And it didn't set well, but that's just the way it was. So what we have now is, I think, the information is here. You got to read it, but the information is here.
Carrie.
So in building the agenda each time, I get the request, and if someone tells me they want to be on the agenda like Casey, I fill out the piece of paper mm-hmm. for them.
Right.
Okay? I don't do any kind of intimidation thing that says you need to fill this piece of paper out or I won't put you on the agenda. He tells me he wants to be on the agenda, I fill it out so that it, because I have a piece of paper to move around. Also, so are you saying that you want, 9 o'clock meeting starts, 9:05 Billy, 9:15 anybody else that wants to show up?
No, I think we'll go, the only one I'm saying that we will routinely put on because in more times than not has information for us is Road and Bridge. And Commissioner Bousman had an excellent point in terms of noting that facilitating Billy to get in here, doing his report, and get back to his department and carry on the county's business is in the best interest. And that's why I would say let's put Billy down there first. As far as the rest of the department heads, I don't think they have, if they need to report to us, they will.
So do they fill out or at least let me know?
Let you know.
And they can let you know
and
what
you can
time
do the
is
agenda.
Convenient for them, and then you work that in to the agenda or whatever fits.
Just a minute.
So are they going to fill out a request form? Or?
No, they will contact you, and you can fill out the request form. If that's what you've been doing, isn't that what you said?
Well, just for Casey, but like the ones that we get from the fire department, they're very detailed, mm-hmm. and I know if I need to have stuff with them or not stuff, or how long they're going to take. So.
Well, that's just, I don't think that that's a problem. I would communicate that with Shad. I think Shad's a very organized individual. If that understanding was Shad, and if I'll be glad to talk to him, because I've told Shad, if you don't need to come, you don't have to be here. But if you do need to come and there's a particular reason, fill out the request form.
It sounds to me like the system that's been enacted for the last couple months is working well, in my mind. I mean, Carrie helps them if they need help, and if they don't, they turn it in. I would hate to muddle that up with a tract.
Okay, Commissioner Vickery.
Well, it seems to me like it needs to have the department heads use their own discretion whether they need to be here to report or not. And if
absolutely.
They need to be here to report, they fill in their request. If they're not going to fill in a request, we're not going to see them. Pretty simple that way.
Well, I don't want to be so...
Well, why not?
It is simple, but I don't want to be... I want to take a more diplomatic attitude.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Diplomatic
so,
as I get.
Yeah, I understand. So that would be it, you know, with the exception of Billy. The rest of them have that pretty much, have that understanding. I'm talking about the sheriff. I'm talking about the fire chief. And that's who we normally hear from. Jeunesse has no problem requesting coming in. We can continue that. If Jeunesse doesn't have an abatement, doesn't want to be here, I guess she won't fill out a...
She's already filled them out for the whole year, and I bring them, and she doesn't need them, she tells me.
Can I do my time card that way?
No.
We need to move on, I think, if we've covered
so,
this.
So, am I not to... Is Billy not going to fill one out if he has something to bring, or...
If Billy has something specific, we need that on the request form for our background information.
We need the background
information. Yeah, yes. But for Billy to come in and give a report and say, do you have any questions for me? No, he doesn't need that. And that's usually, that's generally short. If Billy comes in and has something to do with a project that's going on that the public needs to be aware of that we're going to discuss specifically, yeah, that needs to be put in a request form.
Okay.
And I think Billy heard from the meeting this morning, you're going to be on the agenda every time.
Okay.
Can we move on?
Let's move on.
Move on. Okay, public comments.
I don't have a lot, but I will let you know that we're working on our fee schedule. Dave and Kelly are working on the fee schedule and working with Clay to make sure we're talking, thinking about possibly cash discounts and different things along those lines so we can get our fee schedule down a little bit to where it's more attractive to our local folks to come to our clinic. So that's one thing we're working on and we hope to have something to present at our April 17th meeting. The other thing is we are scheduling question and answer sessions for the senior group or whomever wants to come at Rendezvous Point and at the Sublet Center or the Senior Center in Marbleton. We're probably going to have to change the Rendezvous Point date. It was scheduled for June 4th, but there are some conflicts that week, so we'll probably make it the following week. But there are going to be question and answer sessions. We got a resume and a letter of interest from a physician that is interested in coming here to work. I believe the interesting thing is that he found it through our local advertising, and I think he's from Oklahoma, as I remember correctly. So we're looking into that. We've had to quell a couple rumors. One of them being that we voted ourselves a raise, which is a little funny because we don't get paid anything anyway. I don't think any of us have even submitted mileage, so that's kind of silly. But anyway, that's, you know, some of the stuff that's going around that's really incorrect. And I think that's pretty much it, except I do, aside from healthcare, I want to thank you guys for being proactive during our ozone season. This was the worst one we've had in years. And I think we had like probably 8 or 10 ozone days in a row. and you guys were very receptive and responsible in curtailing as much activity as you could. So I appreciate that because I'm smack dab in the middle of it at my job. But I think that's all I have, really. We're moving forward on, you know, we're looking at some discussions coming up that really, aren't anything I can share at this point because obviously we haven't had those discussions yet. But there's good things on the horizon. Things are really looking up, I think, so.
That's good to hear. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and I think that's all I have. I don't know if you have any questions.
Good commissioners? I don't.
No,
I don't. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I guess I do have a question. What was the raise you got? Did you hear that?
They put it on the second floor.
Yeah.
I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, this is a volunteer board. We don't get paid, period. And I don't know, I'm wondering if they were confused with the 4% COLA that was given to the staff last fall, maybe, or something. You know, it's we don't get it, but the staff did, so, yeah.
Okay. We got a short time before we need to be going to lunch, but we're into old business. If you commissioners, Mac, do you have anything for us?
No, I really don't this time.
Okay, Joel?
Just very quickly, we had some follow up from the result of our work that commissioners did in D.C. We have a meeting with a guy from the Federal Permitting Council. To talk about NEPA and counties being more engaged in BLM stuff. I asked Doc to attend that meeting with me tomorrow. We'll know more about it after that. I did go with Shad to a meeting with the Forest Service to talk about the pros and cons of changing the way we communicate during a fire. There's two options. One is through the Teton Interagency Group, which is Teton County and the forested part of Sublette County, just the forest. The way the lines of boundaries are drawn, the other is the rest of the state of Wyoming, which includes all the private state land BLM in Sublette County, and that's handled out of the Casper office now. And so we were having a discussion about how can we maximize the availability of resources during a fire based on which entity is handling the communications.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an ongoing conversation, but we had a good call yesterday, and I think we're trying to bring those two groups together, the Casper group and the group headquartered in Jackson. And then if the net result is getting them to communicate with each other, so if we have a request for a helicopter, for example, it doesn't just go that way to Idaho, that it also goes to the rest of the state.
Right.
That's what we're trying to make happen. So that's enough said about that. That's
okay.
All I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I will be going to the SLIB meeting
Wednesday.
In Cheyenne yes. for the environmental.
I'll keep it brief. I've been to the meeting in Farson about the Big Sandy Dam enlargement. Come in and sat through the zoning board meeting on the fire regulations. Been in contact with Jack with All West on broadband and Joanne and Russ with the state. That's all just preliminary discussions where we're moving forward with broadband at this point. It's Joanne's got the ball there. She's going with it.
So are we moving forward?
I think it's a really heavy load for Joanne to put together, and she's working on it. And Jack, also with All West, is trying to put all the puzzle pieces together. At this point, we should know a lot more in 2 weeks. Let's say it's right now. It's at a planned out. It could go either way.
Well, I guess the question I asked that was, I thought I understood at the last meeting, All West kind of said, if you find somebody, that's
no,
okay.
They're just trying to put their end together to create a business model, and they don't it's going to take them a couple weeks, and they were very generous in saying that they don't want to hold us up, and if we wanted to move a different provider, we could. But at this point, we're giving him some time to put his pieces together.
Will that be our decision to say?
Joanne's engaged in that heavily.
Okay.
I think we pay her a lot of money to come up with that recommendation.
Okay. Commissioner Vickery?
I have a lot of stuff, but it has nothing to do with council. You're
okay. I have nothing to report as well. So, if that's the case, finished with the morning portion of our meeting, we will recess for lunch and try to be back for 1 o'clock.
Oh,
ouch. Sure.
So, we've been working on the grant for the home expansion. Basically, at this point, it's gone. You're not going to file it.
We don't file the grant. The grant itself, the application has been put forward. We were notified both Friday and yesterday that they would require some documentation from us or some forms from us, permission from us, acknowledgement for us that we can't give. So I would think that the natural process of that is coming to an end, but this is new.
So has anyone notified Holdback Ranches? I just don't want them reading it in anything.
I have no idea. I would talk to the sheriff about that. I know he's one that's brought this to our attention. I just got a form Monday morning that he would like for us to have signed. But after having that discussion, we didn't feel like we could sign it. So I really don't know the answer to that. And I'm sure Casey would tell you. He's been working. The liaison person with that has been Jim Mitchell. And I'm not sure the status of that, because what you heard this morning with regards to that is the first we've heard of it, the other request. And I might have.
Kind of fell into the register, being the person who informed people of what was going on. And
this is the form that I was given Monday and asked to sign. And I don't know what it means, but that's the one I had a concern with.
We're the site, that's what I heard, construction site, yada, yada, yada.
And that's what said, I don't know any signs. I don't know what we're committing to. This is one form. The other two forms that Casey mentioned today, it's the first I've heard of. So I know there's ongoing concerns.
When was that?
What you just said about all West. That was a conversation.
No, it wasn't. I heard it down there at the meeting.
Yes,
I did.
No, you didn't.
Well, yeah, I absolutely did.
No, you heard that when we drove out to see the gravel pit.